Do you remember this song from the 90s? Ben Folds?
She's a brick and I'm drowning slowly off the coast and I'm headed nowhere. She's a brick and I'm drowning slowly.
That was a big song.
Love it.
How much money do you think Ben Folds made from that song? Whatever that number in your head is, take it and split it in half five times. Ben Folds divorces fifth wife, Emma Sandel, after 6 years of marriage. He's been married five times. Doesn't this always fascinate you when you hear about people who are almost addicted to getting married?
I don't know what it is. I think Larry King got married nine times or something crazy. Like, if that was your friend, fifth divorce, like, if your friend got in five motorcycle accidents, would you not say, I don't think motorcycling is for you?
Yeah, but I think it's easier to say you shouldn't be riding a motorcycle than it is to tell somebody what they're supposed to do. I've tried it before, where a friend is dating someone who isn't good for them, and I voice my opinion, and then I'm not invited to the wedding.
Yeah, no,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But or they break up, and I'm like, oh, thank God you broke up with her. She's crazy, man. You're way better off on your own. Then they get back together.
Yeah, two months later. I mean, I'm happy for you. But you'd think you'd see a pattern. You know, like, at what point do you think, like maybe the problem is me? Was it five times that it was equally your fault with your wife? Like, stop getting married.
Ben Folds 5 was the name of his band back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Maybe he just likes things in fives.
This was a goal.
It's the name of his band and the name of his ex-wife.
We did it, boys.
The
five
Ben
divorces.
Folds 5. He's been ordered to pay his newest ex-wife $650,000 in monthly payments of $27,000 over 24 months.
Man.
He has to pay her car insurance for 12 months. He has to pay her $50,000 for furniture and sign over the title to a 2016 Honda CR-V.
Good gracious.
And that's the fifth time he's had to do something like this.
No prenup? The fifth time?
We've got a message on our text line, 1-833-TAZ-AND-JIM. Hey guys, I've been married four times, and number four is the charm. You can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs. In a perfect world, wife four would have been wife one, but I wouldn't change a thing.
Well, if you found the right one, mission accomplished. Well done. You did definitely break a few eggs. How about this one? Hey, Taz and Jim, upon my dad's second divorce, we found that he was her seventh husband. Naturally, we were shocked and asked how that was in a red flag, to which he responded he didn't think it mattered at the time because he loved her and was willing to look past it. After searching her on Facebook after that conversation, we found out she was married again, onto her eighth marriage.
So did she divorce the dad?
They divorced. I don't know if it was her idea or...
So dad was number seven, and then she got married again, so she's on her eighth marriage, this lady.
Yes. That's a lot.
That is, that's a substantial number.
Is that like Liza Minnelli? They're just like some random celebrities that have been married a dozen times.
Some people, I guess, are just optimists when it comes to love.
Yeah.
You know who we have to call? Friend of the Taz and Jim show. We've had this woman on the show a couple times before, and she just keeps going.
Keeps winning.
You hear about people who become almost semi-professional or professional game show contestants.
Especially now with like reality TV, people will be on Survivor and Big Brother.
They get invited back. Well, Erin Cercelli Russell, she is a chef at Fanshawe College. She's teaching the chefs of tomorrow. And she has been on Guy's Grocery Games. Now, this will be her third time. Earlier this week, she was on the program. And how'd she do? Pretty good. Let's see if we can get her on the line here.
Hello.
Hey, is this professional game show contestant Erin Cercelli Russell?
Good morning.
Holy jeez. How do you do it? Third,
isn't that crazy?
Third time on a Guy Fieri game show.
Fieri.
And third time you've been a winner.
Third time, yeah. I'm a triple G triple champion.
At this point, you may be like Ken Jennings, where you become the host eventually.
That would be sweet.
Well, I mean, don't tell a guy that, but that's kind of my plan.
So you walk in now, when you walk into the studio to film one of these episodes, is guy like, oh, hey, Aaron, how you doing? How are the kids?
Pretty much, yeah. You know, this episode was pretty funny because he's like, so how much am I going to pay you this time? So, you know, it's just, it's a wild ride, and I just love that I've been able to be part of it.
All the shows have been a little bit different, right?
Yeah, every single one of them has been totally different than each other.
Like the one you were just on this week, what was the title of it?
This one was Winner's Whammy Auction.
The Winner's Whammy Auction, and you guys had to, like, you had a certain amount of money in your account, and you had to bid on different ingredients that you would incorporate into a dish. What did you end up making for Guy Fieri?
Well, he gave us, him and Hunter gave us $100, but my auction item cost $60. So I had $40 left to purchase appetizer and entree products. And I got stuck with black licorice. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I'm a huge fan, so I was kind of happy about it.
Yeah.
But I didn't want him to know that, because I wanted him to think that this was going to be a real hardcore whammy.
So you got black licorice, and what did you end up making? What was the dish?
So the idea was a steakhouse appetizer and entree. So surf and turf, baby. I went with a fennel black licorice mussel dish to start with. And then I hit them up with a grilled licorice flank steak with a little arugula and quick pickled vegetables.
See, sounds I would have just good. Bitten both ends of the licorice off and used it as a straw for my drink.
Yeah, but you can't use it as a garnish, though. I think that's the rule. You got to make it actually an ingredient in the recipe, right? Hmm.
Right. And the way the game works, if you incorporate it in more than one item, then you're banging on that.
So how much did Guy have to pay you?
So I won the appetizer round, and he gave me an option of taking 2 extra points or 1,000 U.S. So, I mean, the pressure of the game, I agreed to the money.
Okay.
You know, show me the money. And then at the very end, the entree round was tough. My competitors were fierce. And there was actually a two-way tie. A tie for losers and a tie for winners.
Hmm.
So myself and another female chef ended up tying, and he paid us out $10,000.
Nice.
We split the 20G. Yeah.
$10,000 each, and you've won. What have you won to this point with these game shows?
To this point, I've won $39,500.
That's awesome. And I don't mean to get too much into the money, but like, how much is that as tax? Like, I forget how those rules work.
Do you have to go through paperwork to get the tax back, or are you even doing that?
No, it's all taken care of for you.
Okay,
you
sweet.
You like royalty. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's amazing. Well, congratulations, Aaron Cerselli Russell. The really cool thing about this is you're like a bona fide celebrity now. And people in London, Ontario can come and eat your food. I don't know if you're throwing black licorice and everything, but where can they come and see you?
Yeah, they can come check me out with my students at the Chef's Table at Fanshawe College, downtown London.
Chef's Table, great place for lunch. The food is fantastic. The people are great. And the chef is a Guy Fieri certified champion. Aaron, congratulations. Super proud of you, but also a little bit jealous of all that cash you're accumulating.
Yeah, my pocket's getting pretty heavy.
Atta girl.
Comedy fans in Hamilton are in for a treat tonight. Abbas Wahab has a show. He's an actor, comedian, blowing up on social media. Where are you from originally, Abbas?
Grew up in London, Ontario. I'm from Sudan, but grew up in London, Ontario.
Love it.
That's what I said. I said 519. Jim, I think he's a London guy.
He's one of us. People love that. It's amazing when you meet a Londoner in Toronto. They go, 519. We almost kiss for a moment. You know?
Yeah, yeah. They do love it. Or when you're on vacation.
Masonville.
People who recognize London and don't say London, England after is very nice. How long have you been doing stand-up for?
This is year 8.
Year 8. Because you're crushing it right now. You've been touring the country. I think specifically your Instagram videos are blowing up. Have you, when you blow up on Instagram as a comedian in Canada, do you see ticket sales move when you're touring across Canada?
Direct connection. Out of more so than anything else, any other effort I make in anything. I can be in What We Do in the Shadows. I can be in Star Trek. I can be all this stuff. It doesn't really move the needle because it's so disconnected. You shoot, and then it comes out a year and a half later.
Yeah, it's weird, too, because they say like that you used to get like a late-night bump if you went on Letterman or Leno or something like that, and there's still comedians every night going on late night, but they don't get the bump anymore.
No, now it's all about Joe Rogan. That's the kingmaker.
Are you making money off these posts?
No, the posts don't make you money, but what happens is people get tickets, so you make money off touring. Yeah. And every now and then a brand will come and be like, hey, we love your style. We have this campaign. Make us something in your voice. And I make money off that.
What is the what are some of the products that you have endorsed on social media?
I just did the Whopper Wednesday. I'm doing that right now.
The Whopper Burger King
My son is obsessed with the Whopper Wednesday commercials on TV. They seem to run during the hockey games every Tuesday. Smart marketing ploy. And the Whopper Wednesday, he keeps saying it every time he sees it over and over again.
Well, they literally paid me to change my... If you go on my socials for this whole month, I changed my name to Wahab. Wahab already has an H, but they're like, put another H after the W. So Wahab
Whopper Wednesday.
Yeah, like,
and you got paid. You got paid in onion rings and Whoppers.
Yeah, exactly.
Did the LCBO pay you for this endorsement?
Theft happens, but leave that to our Punjabi security guard, Raj. He's trained in the art of standing while being Punjabi, so he'll handle things of that nature.
Got it.
If someone's asking for a wine suggestion, you don't have one, feel free to follow up with Brenda. She's our wine expert. You can't miss her. She got the shaky hands. You know, God bless her. She's been doing research on wine for decades, I
got
believe.
Got it, Brenda.
Mark is our whiskey guy over there with the really red nose, so he's got great suggestions. And overall, keep in mind, this is a government position. So at no point do I want to see hustle, quick movement of any sort.
Okay.
And just general hard work.
Was that a paid partnership with the LCBO?
No, they should. I mean, that one is a little, I don't think it's endearing to the LCBO. Just pretty much poking fun at all the businesses we know and are near and dear to us here as Ontarians.
You mentioned Joe Rogan earlier, and what's up with comedians doing jujitsu as well? Does every other comedian also do jujitsu now?
Oh my God, you know, it's funny that you say that. I don't know what the connection is. It's funny because I actually... joined a Brazilian jiu-jitsu gym last year, and I went all last year, and I'm actually proud to say this year I got my black ass out of there. You know what I mean? For some reason, they put it in my head that I'm supposed to do jiu-jitsu, and I just ended up going, just getting hurt, paying $200 a month. I felt like I was paying for a male dominatrix. Dude, I don't know what it is. You're so right. It's something about, like, jiu-jitsu is all about keeping your ego in check because you just go get defeated all the time. And I guess that kind of helps you on stage and helps you kind of master your temperament, et cetera. I think that's what it is. It's a theory. I got out of that pretty quick. I'm not going to lie, guys.
In a way, comedians are also gluttons for punishment, right? Whether it's a crowd turning on you or some guy putting you in a leg lock and squeezing as tight as he can.
Yeah, the whole time I was getting freaking armbarred, I was like, damn you, Joe Rogan, damn you.
There are a lot of tough crowds. You've been all across Canada. What's the toughest city to perform in, or town? Is there a specific spot?
New Brunswick, for some damn reason, does not come out to my shows. I don't know what it is about New Brunswick, but they don't mess with me at all. And to be honest with you, I don't care, because when I went to New Brunswick, to be honest, I was like, holy crap, how bad was the old Brunswick? You know what I mean? Like, the new one? Like, I'm not going back anytime soon.
Well, hopefully Hamilton is kind to you. You are performing tonight in Hamilton.
Yep, I am performing tonight at the Staircase. It's almost sold out. We got a couple seats left. It's an amazing venue, independent venue, run by a guy named Matthew Serena, amazing guy. And always fun. Hamilton, they love. Hamilton is one of those places. Hamilton, Winnipeg, all these places, they love for you to come and crap on the city. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
They know we're that city, and they and they're not, you know, they're not sensitive about it. That's why I love performing that.
Abbas Wahab, very funny comedy on social media. We'll put the ticket information for your Hamilton show on the Taz and Jim pages so everyone can find it there. Thanks, man. You know what we got to do? Devin Peacock's here as well. We haven't done this in a couple weeks, and we got to make sure we stay on top of it because I enjoy mm-mm-mming the news.
Once there was this kid who got into an accident and couldn't come to school, but
have you heard this before, Dev?
I haven't, I don't think.
Okay, this is where Jim and I give each other a news story from the week, and we have to improv and work it into the structure of that song, Crash Test Dummies, mm-mm-mm. Okay?
I like it.
And I want you to listen carefully, because I have a feeling Devin Peacock might be good at this. He's
yeah,
a news guy.
Yeah.
We're going to get you to try this in a couple weeks. Who goes first, you or I?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay, why don't you do, Jim? Okay. Why don't you mm-mm-mm? The story from earlier in the week that the replica of the Titanic should be ready to set sail in 2027, they're saying. They're building an exact replica of the Titanic, and they're going to have it sail the world. Are you ready?
Okay.
Once there was this guy who was an Australian billionaire. He said, I'll build Titanic 2, and people heard about it. They said, did you not see that movie? When this thing does sink, he better go down with the ship.
You can tell it's been a couple weeks since we've done it. We're a little rusty. Okay, what news story would you like me to...
Well, if Dev's here, we should do the Otani's interpreter was caught gambling on sports. $4 million in the hole, I think.
Okay.
That's a good one. So the Otani interpreter
and then
gambler.
Shohei Otani may or may not have paid off the bookies for him, right?
Once there was a guy who was good at baseball, but his English not so good. And another dude would help him speak English, but he was a degenerate gambler. Shohei said that he'd pay, but he should have said no way.
I just like watching you guys get into it because you guys really get into it.
We gotta close our eyes and try to figure out where
it's
we are.
It's frustrating because our voices don't go as low as we'd really like them to. start singing that in the shower, Dev, because we're going to get you to try. Maybe next Friday we'll get you to
I'll practice. I have the voice of a generation. So.
Oh, really?
Which generation is the question?
3 generations ago.
People in Houston, Texas were a little surprised to see a post on social media by the Houston branch of the FBI. It was 3 different pictures, security cam footage of what looks to be little kids. And the post says, recognize these little rascals? Believe it or not, they just robbed the Wells Fargo.
What?
At 10261 North Freeway. If you know who they are, contact police immediately.
What?
The little rascals robbed a bank.
That is crazy. Just like 3 little kids?
Yeah, it looks like Buckwheat, Spanky, and Alfalfa.
I got a dollar, hey, 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 hey. That might just be the 90s Little Rascals, but...
Yeah, I got thousands of dollars. I just robbed a bank.
Did they have the one kid on the shoulder with a trench coat and a gun and a broom handle as a gun? Give us all your money, mister.
Hey, mister.
Reach for the sky.
No, I think the guy on the top, on the shoulders with the fedora on was Froggy.
Hey, can I have...
He does sound older.
Can I have some money, please?
Don't look at my face.
What they did, apparently... I loved the Little Rascals.
Classic.
What they did was they handed a note to the teller saying that they had a gun and they want money or they're going to start shooting people.
I would love to see that note. If all the funny spelling mistakes...
All the backwards R's.
Gun spelled with two N's.
Different colored crayons. Well, the Little Rascals have been apprehended. The police were able to track them down. They are now facing probation or juvie because the ages of the boys, oldest was 16, so a little older, 12-year-old and an 11-year-old.
I've got a feeling the 16-year-old might have been the ringleader a little bit.
The mastermind. A news station in Houston conducted a poll asking whether parents should be charged in crimes like these. And 60% of residents said yes.
For sure, if it's a repeat offender, I do feel like there are certain crimes if a child commits it and the parent is proven to be turning a blind eye to the behavior. I think they should be held accountable.
There's always a chance, too, that the parents may have put them up to this.
You never, in this world, you never know.
Yeah, so the kids have been apprehended. The Little Rascals won't be rascaling around Houston any longer.
How cute is their breakout from jail going to be, though?
The spotlight on them?
Yeah, putting like stuff under the bed sheet so they look like there's people under there? That's adorable.
Is this the most embarrassing thing ever to happen at a funeral in the history of funerals? Possibly. Funeral in London, England. Not everyone could make it. So the church set up a Zoom call where people could watch it online. There was one woman, she couldn't go to the funeral service, but she was planning to go to the wake later on. So she was going to see everybody later that day. But she wanted to watch the funeral on Zoom, so she set up the laptop in her bathroom, not realizing the camera was on. She started showering and getting ready for the day. The Daily Mail has this article, and they've posted a censored video where they've pixelated the lady, but you can still kind of make out how the shot was framed. Let's put it that way.
She's right exposed.
Oh yeah, full frontal. Basically, the camera is, you couldn't have positioned it better at the shower. Everyone else's faces are like, because what do you do? The priest probably doesn't know.
The eulogy guy's got to say.
He's busy.
Well, here's the thing. It shouldn't be a two-way Zoom call. You should be streaming the funeral, but there's no need. I need to see anybody who's attending's face in the corner of it. It doesn't need to be a grid of everybody who's involved. There should be one giant screen streaming of the casket or the guy speaking, and that's it.
That's true. My uncle passed away. He lived out in Montana, and my sisters were able to go in person to the funeral, but I couldn't make it with my family, so we watched it on YouTube, which is a nice way to do it, because YouTube, you can see everything that's going on. Nobody can see you.
Yeah, it's just streaming one way. Perfect.
I was buck naked for that funeral.
Oh, I was in the hot tub.
Thank goodness. It gets worse. It gets worse. Uh-oh. Not only did she shower.
Oh, no.
But she also.
Did she grab the wand and put it on Paul's?
Imagine.
I'm just so stressed out.
No, but she did shave. I'm hoping it was her legs. Right?
Jeez, it just means that she was in the shower for that much longer, too, you know?
It was the full shower was broadcast to the entire funeral Zoom call. Surprised the corpse didn't sit up.
Hello.
What is going on here? Auga.
It's a miracle.
I want to see you peacock.
Time for sports. We are joined by Devin Peacock, our sports guy. NFL news, Dev.
The tush push, which was rumored to be on its way out, is sticking around, otherwise known as the brotherly shove. received a lot of attention last season because it was perfected by the Philadelphia Eagles. Other teams tried to emulate it. In particular, the New York Giants, they tried to do it a couple of times, and they injured some players while they were doing it.
Explain to people who may not know what the tush push is.
So the tush push is a short yardage play, essentially, where the quarterback, it's a quarterback sneak, but the entire team just shoves forward. It is what it sounds like. So,
but the quarterback carries the ball across the line?
Quarterback carries the ball across the line. You follow the center. So Jason Kelce, who just retired with the Philadelphia Eagles, was a major component of the tush push, and basically you're pushing the tush as you go forward, and it was nearly unstoppable. Like the Philadelphia Eagles were so good at it, it was nearly unstoppable. When they get in a short yarded situation, which is like a yard, maybe half a yard, they would call this play. They would do it all the time, and they would be successful. And so teams were complaining. They felt it was improper. They thought it was wrong. NFL's decided, you know what? There's nothing illegal about it.
And you can awesome. Do it, too.
Anyone can do it. It's different than, say, like, you know, the hand check rule that they put in that they did a number of years ago in terms of not being able to put your hands on a player beyond 5 yards to knock him off his route or something like that. You can touch a player within the first 5 yards. That's okay. Beyond that, you can't. That is the type of rule change that makes sense. For the tush push, if you want to go for a short yardage play, go for it. But, I mean, you're not going to do it all the time, right? So Keeping it makes sense.
I'm glad it's here to stay. I enjoy the phrase tush push. Every time I hear it, I think of this song.
You don't know this tune?
Push, push in the tush. You don't know Push in the Tush?
I know ZZ Top Tush, and I know Salt and Pepper Push It, but I don't know these.
It's not Tush. I don't know if you heard what it actually is.
Push in the Bush is what I heard. That's outrageous.
It's a 70s song, so I think it's easy to figure out.
I know what's going on the song.
But every time they...
saying about landscaping, guys.
Every time in the NFL they do the Tush Push, that song would just appear in my... Tush, Tush in the Push. Push, Push in the Tush. It's really, you got a Dr. Seuss quality to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Push, push in the bush. Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, in theaters as of today. Some screenings last night, actually. They always do that. Say it comes out Friday, and then they throw it in the theater on Thursday. Sneaky.
Yeah. Pop up those box office numbers one extra day, basically.
We've got Kevin on the line. How you doing, Kevin?
Hey, not too bad.
Okay, so myself, Taz, Jim Kelly, and Ryan, our producer, joins us. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys.
We've each got a fact about Ghostbusters. Could be any of the movies, TV shows, toys, whatever. You guess who's telling the truth, and you are going to win $100 worth of Lotto Max tickets. Jim, what is your fact about Ghostbusters?
This is the truth. You know the proton packs, the thing they would capture the ghosts in? This is not just like a crazy idea. This was based on an old Nikola Tesla design. He had a theory that if you aimed a beam of concentrated AC electrical energy at an inanimate object, it could break it down to its basic atoms, and theoretically you could send an object through time and space. So Dan Aykroyd's obsessed with Tesla and all the spiritual realm stuff, so he knew about this. It was his idea for the proton pack. It could theoretically be a real item that could capture ghosts.
Interesting. All right. Ryan, what do you have?
So, did you know that there is actually a connection between Alanis Morissette and the Ghostbusters franchise? There were some animated Ghostbusters television shows from the 80s going into the 90s, and Bill Murray's character, Dr. Peter Venkman, for a large portion of those series, voiced by Mr. Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier.
He can do so many voices.
Uncle Joey from Full House was the voice of
the very same
Peter Venkman in this. Imagine when Alanis went down on him in a theater Ghostbusters was playing?
I think the timing lines up.
I thought Uncle Joey could only do Rocky and Bullwinkle's voices.
Yeah, hello. He did that a lot.
The jackalope. He's a talented guy. Okay. Here is the truth about the Ghostbusters. Movie came out in 1984. In 1985, the sales of marshmallows plummeted over 73% in the United States because after seeing the movie, everyone was terrified of marshmallows.
Oh, the Marshmallow Man?
The Marshmallow Man. It was the worst year for marshmallow sales, 1985, since the Great Depression. That is the truth.
That's why my great-grandpa used to say the only thing that got them through the Great Depression was s'mores. So I think that makes sense.
Who do you trust? Is it Jim Kelly with the proton packs? Is it Dave Coulier with Ryan? Or is it Taz and the marshmallows?
That's tough. I am going to have to go with Jim. He was very convincing.
I lied!
Dang it. Oh, good.
That was like the first time I've ever written anything all out so I could say it without as professional as possible. Really, I don't blame you for guessing that one.
He tried to make it sound very technical. Okay, between myself and Ryan, who do you think's telling the truth? It's Friday. We're going to cut you some slack here.
I'm going to go with Ryan then.
Yeah, hey, you got it. Dave Coulier, accomplished voice actor, and he was Peter Venkman in a large chunk of the Ghostbusters animated series. That new Ghostbusters movie is in theaters now.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.